This is Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show, number 467 in the series. This session shares a segment from the Franklin, Mass. Town Council meeting held on Wednesday, February 17, 2021. The meeting was conducted in a hybrid format. Most members of the Town Council, selected guests, and town administration personnel were in the council chambers. At least one member of the council was remote, along with the public via the Zoom conference bridge, all to adhere to the social distancing requirements of this pandemic period. I split the full 3 hour and 50 minute meeting into four logical segments. The first segment covers the opening through the Community Preservation Committee appointments and including a 2 minute recess, although the recess silent time you're not going to hear here, clearly. We left that out. Second segment returns from the recess to pick up and cover the complete streets presentation and discussion, as well as the town administrator review and discussion, approximately 58 minutes. The third segment opens with the legislation for action, covers the items through the authorization of the fire trucks, approximately 40 minutes. The fourth and final segment covers the technical adjustments to the three stormwater articles, 1, 2, and 3, with the discussion running off course again, with confusion around the proposed stormwater utility fee, which is not in these three articles. This segment also runs through to the closing of the meeting, approximately an hour and 13 minutes. The show notes contain links to the meeting agenda, including documents released for the agenda. Let's listen to this segment of the Town Council meeting of February 17, 2021.
We're back. I'll call the February 17th meeting Town Council meeting back to order. And moving forward, we're moving on to presentation and discussions. And our first presentation tonight is on the Complete Streets program. Mike Maglio, town engineer, and Jamie, you want to lead in?
Just really quickly, thank you, Mr. Chairman. So this is something many people in the community, I see some folks actually on at home, who've been requesting this presentation for a long time. This is the Complete Streets program. Brutus and Mike are gonna go through a short presentation. There is no legislation for action on tonight. This is just a discussion to get a sense from the council about this program. Brutus is also going to introduce everybody to one of the newest members of the staff over in the corner over here. So without further ado, the man who needs no introduction, because this is the fifth straight town council meeting he has presented at, Brutus Cantareggi.
Thank you, boss. Yeah, it has been five, but who's counting? So I have Mike Maglio here tonight with me. I think you all know as a town engineer, he's been for a while. And then I also have... This is Brooke Cody. She's our new assistant town engineer. She replaced Jay Mello. She lives in Franklin. She's a great resource for us. She's worked on the private side for a number of years, and then she is also working down in Pawtucket, so she has a utility type experience too, and she's really working out well for us. Right now she's doing a lot of design work for our upcoming road programs, and it's going pretty well. So I think we're very fortunate to be able to get her. Awesome.
Excellent.
Great. Welcome.
So, what we're going to talk about today is the Complete Street Program. I'll give you just a quick overview of it, something that me and Mike and I have been working on for a while. So basically, Complete Streets is one that provides a safe, accessible option for all travel modes, whether it's walking, biking, transit, vehicles, for people of all ages and abilities. It's a funding program. The state's been actually throwing money into it for a number of years now. It's run by MassDOT. It provides technical assistance when we go ahead and do things, funding source for construction projects, and every community is involved in it. If you get approved for a specific project, you can get up to $400,000 a year. And so we want to be part of that, get some more money. I think, you know, we're pretty good about getting grants here. So it's a tiered program. Tier one, we register with MassDOT, participate in training, and develop a complete streets policy. Okay, we've already done that. Tier two is develop a complete street prioritization plan. We're going through that right now with our consulting engineer, and we were able to get a $38,000 grant from the state on that to help us with that. So once again, we like the free money. And then tier three we get to is we're going to actually apply for individual construction project grants, anything MassDOT issues project approval and notice to proceed, so we can get along with those. So the benefit to Complete Street is promotes a safer and more convenient access travel for all users and the people of all ability. It contributes towards the safety, health, economic viability, and quality of life in the community. It provides a better conductivity travel between home, school, work, recreation. And I'd also say here would be our transit. We're fortunate Franklin, and we have two transit stops that, you know, trains that come into town. So integrating to those. So these are just a couple of slides I threw up here, you know, before Complete Streets and after Complete Streets. You know, somewhere in the middle, you know, you get the crosswalks, you get the bike lanes, that thing in the center, which is called a road diet. You actually make the road a little smaller, so cross traffic. We actually looked at that one time for 140. So there's a lot of different things you can do. And the important thing to notice about this, I really need folks to understand. We got what we have on the left and we have what we have on the right. Okay, it doesn't have to be everything on the right. It can be one little piece of that we need to improve. It could just be a crosswalk. It could be a sign. It could be a whole bike lane. We don't know, okay? But that's what we evaluate the roads with. Again, it's a maybe a larger scale. Quarter-wide improvements include separate bike lane, new traffic signal, address pedestrian movements. I think we're looking at a lot of the Grove Street. We're trying to get some stuff going out there. It's a good example of it. And it may be small in scale, pavement markings may delineate shared bike lanes or upgrade accessibility for car ramps. Design of a Complete Street should incorporate improvements that fit the need and within the character of the community. So like that thing I showed you before, I don't see where we're gonna put bike lanes down Main Street. You know, it's just too small, it's too accessible. But you know, if you go up there, you can see some of the small markings that there is bike accessible, just to remind people that their bikes might be using there. And we have the improved crosswalks. So challenges that you have, obviously, are physical constraints. You can think of Franklin as, you know, an old agricultural community. Our roads are not 60 feet wide in areas. We only own so much. We could have stone walls in the way. We could have trees in the way. We could have buildings in the way. The other thing is traffic volume and speed. That's what we're always looking at. You can't compare Lincoln Street to a Southgate. You know, you got to look at who's going to use it, the type of road, what's existing already there. So these are some of the challenges we come up with. Types of eligible projects, new sidewalks, sidewalk repairs, accessible curb ramps. You know, I'm being honest, DPW director, there's always a handicap walkway to fix town. I mean, it's just, you know, prioritizing getting that done. Traffic and safety, traffic calming, shoulder widening, radar speed signs, transit facilities, secure bicycle parking, signage, and transit shelters. I think you remember the old PWED projects. We actually have some of the bike storage areas down at the Depot Street. It's worked out pretty well. I was down the other day, there's still bikes on it, even the snow. Bicycle facilities, shared use path, bike lanes, bicycle parking fixtures. This is to give you an idea that a lot of communities are already participating one way or the other to some tier where we're at. So, you know, this is our competition. We want to make sure we're in there. We can get some of the funding. Next step, establish a complete street policy. This is where you all come into it, is we can have a discussion on it, what you'd like to see. And hopefully we get that adopted by the town council sometime in March and May. Develop a complete street prioritization plan. Like I said, we're already working that right now. What were our high impact, high biggest bang for our dollars that we're going to go ahead and do? This is our questions. I just want to let you folks know I chose this picture specifically because my idea of Complete Street right now is to put palm trees in the background. Okay, it's been a very long winter and chilly. So Complete Street Franklin will be palm trees. Okay. We can go ahead and do that. Anybody have any questions?
Any questions from the council? Councilor Chandler.
Through you, Mr. Chairman. Brutus, so because we haven't had bike lanes on some of our projects, you can tell people we've lost money, right? We've lost some state money.
I wouldn't necessarily say we've lost state money. It's more we've identified different places that we might not have been able to apply for it, and it might different types of projects you might not be able to get one anyway. So like a lot of people have talked about, you know, we're getting ready to do Lincoln Street.
Yeah.
You know, over there. Technically you could say you've lost some money, but it would have been, we looked at it beforehand, it would have been so astronomically expensive to actually widen the road out there to try to actually put a full type bike lane in. But we are looking to put in the signage or the, you know, the markings on the road.
Yeah.
Which are low cost type things. I think Jamie's spoken to a lot of you too about what we're trying to do with the Grove Street project. I mean, that's a big project. That's from the get-go. That's millions and millions of dollars. And this is one we'd obviously try to incorporate the Complete Streets program, because we would have a little more dedicated bike laning out there, looking at traffic signals, as you're all aware about, crossings at the rail trail out there. So there's a lot of integrations that we can do.
All right. Maybe I shouldn't have worded it as lost money, more as if when we put in for a project, if we had a Complete Streets, we would move up in the, to get the money, maybe move up the ladder.
That's it.
That's it. Okay.
On state, through Mr. Chairman, on state grant applications,
that's what I was
like thinking. MassWorks, like a lot of the grants that are coming out, things like Housing Choice, which Franklin is a designated housing choice community, that gets you another 0.5% off your SRF loans. You know, the Complete Streets policy has been a, unfortunately, it's been a big gap for a while. It does rely on an upfront commitment and dedication to sidewalks, bike lanes, all this stuff that Bruce just talked about. And you do lose points on your grant applications, or you don't gain that advantage. So you're 100% correct, Councilor Chandler. I wouldn't say that we've lose money. But you know, we've lost, you know, if you did $400,000 grant a year and you were getting it, you know, over 10 years, you got it every other year, you're losing a couple million bucks, you know, that could be put into sidewalks and bike lanes and other, for, you know, pedestrian friendly traffic signals and stuff like that. So it's an opportunity lost as opposed to, okay, you know, money lost. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Councilor Chandler. Councilor DeLocco.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If I'm not mistaken, wasn't this in the 2013 master plan? I thought we brought this up, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
I'm not mistaken. Yeah. So this has been up for a while.
It was discussed.
It was discussed, wasn't it?
Very new then.
Yeah.
It was probably just got kicked off.
Hmm. So not necessarily, they're not going to tell us that we have to put bike lanes in like at certain streets or whatever. It's up to us, right? Well, you know, what they're not going to come out and say, yeah, you're not going to get the money if you don't put one down 140, right?
Correct. But it's, you know, I'm not at the state level where they decide things. But, you know, if you're putting our 140, say, section up against, I don't know, Bellingham.
Yeah.
They're putting it all in. We decide not to for whatever reasons.
Right.
I don't know if they're going to get the nod more than we are.
Okay.
You might look at it differently.
I can see that. Yeah.
Have more traffic calming or something like that, because we figure that's a bigger priority. But that goes into the whole prioritization plan we got the grant for now. They're working with our consulting and with DOT.
Okay. Well said, Councilor DeLocco. Councilor Hamblin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Through the chair, I just want to say hello to Brooke. Welcome. And thank you to Mike and Brutus for putting this together. I think this is one thing that we've been talking about a lot in the economic development, the MAPC. We discussed making it easier for people to get downtown and be safer with their families, people of all abilities to get around town, to get across the streets. And I think this will really help a lot. And it's a really positive thing for the town, for the quality of life here as well. I have a question about, would this come in when we, if we wanted to get funding to make a sidewalk around Beaver Street down to the field from the rec department, could we get a grant or some kind of thing, funding for that project if we had this? Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Well,
go ahead.
We're actually planning to do that. That's it. We've already kind of funded that in the springtime. Yeah. So that's going to be going out to bid. So we're going to actually have the sidewalk. You know, we work with the railroad. We got the crosswalk in. So that was our number one priority area right now for sidewalks after we did Chestnut and Pleasant, was to go from 140 down to the Beaver Street Park,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Particularly by the recreation facility.
Yeah,
so that is already funded.
Yeah.
But future, I mean.
But just to touch on that also, that type of project would be eligible for that type of funding. So it would probably take a while before we actually get the position to actually apply for the funding by the time we get through the state program. But that would be that type of project that could qualify.
Awesome.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Councilor Hamblin. Councilor Kelly.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, through you.
So the Beaver Street, just to follow up on that, the Beaver Street we worked on 5-6 years ago, and when we did the interceptor repairs, we actually were able to do a little bit of work over there on those tracks to prep for that. Wasn't that the case at the time?
You're correct. We've worked on that, so I'm going to say 5 years since Mike's in here, and actually Mike came up with a great idea. We actually had the county engineers go and do it, so they did it for free. So we got that all done for free, and then Mike's
recommendation of Bobby.
Yeah, I think that would be And they've also, I'm going to throw it out there too, we're also doing Washington Street now. We're getting that surveyed, but that's our next priority we want to do for sidewalk. But I think Jay designed that up for
go ahead. We've been working on the Beaver Street one for a number of years. The biggest holdup was the MBTA. We actually got the force account with Keolis to build the crossing. So that was done right before COVID. I think it was like January, February last year when that was built. We're going through the permitting phase right now. Actually, we're being in front of the Conservation Commission tomorrow night. Hopefully get that approved. Brooke's been handling that. And then we should be going out to bid for that sidewalk, for the construction of the sidewalk this season.
Who says government slow? Yeah. We only started that 5 years ago.
In all fairness,
it's not you guys. I know that. Don't think I'm saying it's you at all.
It's
Keolis, I'm sure.
How many times we went into Keolis? What did we go, summer?
Some of them.
Yeah.
We went in there. Oh, my God. Trying to deal with these people.
Oh, they're crazy.
Yeah. So we actually could get them to do that work is huge. Just to agree to it. And now we can go and do our part.
Thank you. Two more, if I could. The first one is, so downtown and 140 is most of the way, for the most part, is a state highway. How does that play with the state highway, as we don't have jurisdiction on redoing the roads on 140 that are state highway? Are we going to get the funds and have the permission of the state, or would the state come in and then do that once we're declared?
That would, so that wouldn't necessarily apply to the complete streets funding. That, like, the state would be responsible for any improvements there, and if they were to incorporating that, we'd work with them on that, but that'd be something to be funded by the state where it's their roadway.
So to take up Councilor Hamlin's comment, it'd be great to have, which I agree with, it'd be great to have those items downtown. We're really not going to get those items downtown unless the state decides to do that.
As an example, the downtown section is actually ours.
We own from, was it the
just Lewis past Street, Beaver Street,
Lewis Street to
just before Beaver.
Yeah.
In that area. So when we did the downtown project was done with the state, with that the funding of the downtown project, they actually included some of those the shared bike lanes, shadows, we call them. So those were put in by the state as part of that project, because that was moving towards that shared accommodation with the bicycles and the traffic. So on their roadway, we could push to work with them to have that done, but that would be something that they would be funding as part of their roadway itself, not necessarily through this program.
Okay. And then my last question is, so we've got this big ongoing battle with impervious coverage, and you're talking about adding sidewalks.
I think
I'm confused, because I constantly sit here over the last 10 years and have to explain to people we're taking away a sidewalk in their neighborhood. I just spent the last 3 weeks speaking to a gentleman over on Barron Road about taking away a sidewalk on email after meetings. I probably got 20 hours into that conversation. And now you're saying, let's add sidewalks.
So, through the chair, I think the key to that response would be that it's not necessarily on cul-de-sacs or smaller roads that we're looking to add. The key is making the connectivity where pieces are missing. And the biggest example I can give is a couple of years ago, the council approved the project for the Pleasant Street and Chestnut.
Yeah.
And that whole loop, that was a good project, because that's where you really need sidewalks, where you have high traffic volumes and speeds, and a lot of people walking. So things like that. And then the Beaver Street sidewalk project, making the connection from 140 in the rec center all the way to the ball fields. Bruce had mentioned the Washington Street project.
And I have no problem with the one sidewalk, but the picture showed two, so I want to make it clear to the citizens that are watching, we're not putting two sidewalks in on either side.
No, the key would be to making things connected to key locations.
These are the things that come back to bite us, right? Absolutely. So there was a picture in December 17th's town council meeting, and it's 2024.
Buddha's choice of picture again.
Yeah. So, always.
I'm on record when this originally came out, and to the councilor's Kelly point, because on one side of town, we are dealing with impervious here and stormwater. And it's like, I asked DOT, hey, you talking to EPA? Right? If you talk, then you talk to the people, and I'll say the handicap board. The handicap board would like to have the whole town paid. But that's not good for stormwater. That's not good for other things, too. So it's like, We do have a lot of agencies.
One hand does never knows
exactly.
The other.
Exactly. That's my
point. Well, that's the whole problem, which goes into the impervious coverage, and you know, and the, go on from there, where we're going to now have this impervious coverage tax, or as my fellow counselor, someone might call it a fee. You know, from there, what's going to happen is that now we're going to say, oh, we're installing sidewalks. So now we're going to turn around and just up that fee, just a couple more cents. And it's going to go up and up and up. And before I know it, we're paying for the town sidewalks or a town. Everybody wants sidewalks. I get it. Nobody wants to be paying more in their taxes for them. So I think it's a God-given right that you have a sidewalk in front of your street, so that on one side of your street, so you can walk to where you want to go. But it's not, it should be included in our tax bill. But Mike, more importantly, is as long as it doesn't increase our impervious coverage, I think it's a great idea. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Kelly. Councilor Frangillo.
Yeah, through you. Question about the prioritization plan, how that's being put together. Who puts it together? Is it just sort of put together and then it comes before us for approval?
Me and Mike can talk about it. So there's basically three parties working on now with the public works.
Could you speak into the mic, Brutus, please?
The public works, we're working with an outside consultant, and we're also working with DOT. So we all got to come together and, you know, think of the three legs, and then we make the presentation, the review to the council where we're at, for obviously for comments and stuff like that.
Okay.
Just to touch on that also, in the plan, there's the initial plan we have to submit to the to MassDOT as part of the program, but that's a ongoing, it's a living document, so it changes. So even if we have stuff on the list, we could change that list as time goes on, as new issues come up and we have different priorities change over time. So that's something that will can change over time also.
Yeah. How do you decide your priorities? How do we know the issue areas?
The initial list, I think, they look for, I think, up to 15 projects that we want to prioritize. And we, there's things, areas we already know of that we identify. We're having a consultant actually help us out with a transportation master plan of the town, looking for areas that are key locations, facilities that don't have the connectivity, identifying those locations, identifying where the gaps in our traffic network are. And it just from knowledge of the system itself and feedback we get from residents and other folks and the council too, planning department.
We also work with the planning department, and things have come up to also with the police department, you know, where it might be high accident areas, stuff like that. So.
Okay, thanks.
You all set, Councilor Frangillo. Councilor Bisanti.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Through the chair to Director Catarigi. So, last term I served, and I was the EDC chair, I remember going into Boston specifically to talk to the DOT, and unless I got the wrong impression, their battle cry was bike paths on major highways. So I don't know if that's changed, or is that some, I mean, like a highway like Route 140, has that changed as far as, have they backed off on that? And now it has to be mandated by them, or is it still something that they might be mandating by a developer?
That's a difficult question to answer. I think we just have to take a step back and think about it. In the impression I'm getting, and I will say a lot of, initially when this came out, there was a lot of negativity towards it because of bike lanes. That's the biggest one. Like, we gotta put bike lanes everywhere, right? So there was a lot of pushback on that. But I think Mike can talk about this too, that the way the state's looking at, they're still kind of looking at the town to see what the town really wants, because we're the one that's going to be applying for the grant. So, you know, if we decide we don't want to have bike lanes on one road and one on the other, they're going to listen to us. I have not heard of them forcing anybody to put bike lanes in, which I think is a good thing.
If I may, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, you still have the floor.
I tend to agree with you, Director Catarigi, but the sense was, they were just as frustrated with that, with the bike lane option, but it seemed like it was coming from upstairs, that whatever developer would come to them for a request, they would also, okay, we'll think about that, but we want bike paths. So, I mean, that I just want to see if that's changed. That's all.
I don't think it's changed.
I don't think so. I think the state is looking, especially on their roads and their sections of state highway, that they're pushing for certain things to have that access.
But they want the developers.
that might be something that they're looking at for that. But with this particular program, this is basically projects that we prioritize and we apply for funding for. So then with this program, they're not going to be telling us that you have to do this project or this project. It's stuff that we apply for. And if we get the grant, then we'll get funding to help, you know, up to $400,000 a year to do that. But they won't be necessarily telling us what we have to do. And then when we come up with a policy, there is flexibility in that, that, you know, when there was one of the slides, I think there was a key line in there that it's up to us to really determine what fits in with the, with our community and the setting in Franklin, as opposed to one cookie cutter, you know, one size fits all for every community. So I don't think they'd be coming to us telling us you have to do this or this. It's more of like, these are our priority projects for connectivity and making accessible for all users. This is our priorities. And these are the projects we want to apply for funding for.
All right. Thank you. Yield the floor.
Thank you, Councilor Bisanti. Any other questions from the council? Is there anyone in the audience that has a question on? Perfect. Complete Street Program. Jamie, you want to finish up?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. So ultimately, the next step in this is the adoption of a policy. So we can't go any further unless we go through that process. So I'm just trying to gauge, you know, does this seem like the general consent, thumbs up, move forward, bring it forward, next step?
I'm good with it.
A big thumbs up.
Everybody,
if I may ask.
Sure, certainly.
So, Brutus, if you could play devil's advocate, why is there any reason we'd be against this? I mean, and I don't mean to put
that's
you
a
on
good
the
question.
Spot, but
no, that's a good question.
I can't think of any, because ultimately we still got to make the choice what grants we want to apply for. And, you know, realistically, say worst case scenario, we came down and we're doing something on, I'll just keep saying Lincoln Street, right? And the state says, we're only going to give you this grant because you got to put in two sidewalks, you do this. And we don't have to accept it. We can say, no, we're not going to do it. We're not going to take the grant, and we're not going to do it. So, I mean, we still have the, all
I
that.
Call
all
that
okay.
But, yeah, that's a great question.
Thank you.
Councilor Jones?
Just to make clear on my position for the purposes of answering the town administrator's question is I'm for it moving forward.
Yeah. Thank you. I think I am. I'm
so
seeing far. Everybody kind of got a thumbs up. So
very excited.
So let's move.
Go. Okay.
Let's begin to move forward in developing a.
There is a lengthy process to go with this. Of course.
I understand.
You know, and I look at the map. And I think 230 communities, I just want to catch up to everybody. So,
and the timeline would be to come back to us in April or May?
Yeah, I would probably expect April. One of the meetings in April would be my suggestion. We have a policy draft up to go. I think the staff maybe just wants to do one last review and then update what's in the packet and then bring it forward to the council. And just for clarity, you might be here every meeting all year.
I love it.
So,
don't do us any favors.
Mike, just for clarification, I think it needs to, what part, is it just the council that needs to review this for one vote, or is it multiple votes, do you think?
I believe it's just one vote, but
okay.
I'd have to check a mark. Is that just adopting a policy?
It's just an adopting the policy.
Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure it was clear to everybody. Thank you very much.
Okay. Seeing no further comments or questions, Mike, Brutus, thank you very much for the enlightening presentation once again. Okay, moving on, subcommittee reports. Capital, I don't believe, has met. Budget,
we haven't met, but I'll be addressing a need from the town administrator at future business this evening.
Great, thank you. EDC, I don't think you've met since our last meeting.
She's shaking her head.
She's shaking her head in the no.
No, we haven't met.
Okay, thank you. Town Administrator Evaluation Ad Hoc Subcommittee Report, Councilor Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do have a report tonight on behalf of the Town Administrator's Evaluation Ad Hoc Subcommittee that I'd like to present to the council for the full council support, hopefully. Let me read what I have in front of me here. Before you tonight is the 2020 Annual Review of the Franklin Town Administrator, Jamie Helen. The Town Administrator Evaluation Ad Hoc Subcommittee met a total of three times to evaluate and review the performance of the Town Administrator Helen. This ad hoc committee and their associated meetings were set up in order to comply with the provisions of the Franklin Town Charter. which requires an annual review of the town administrator's performance. This committee was chaired by myself, Councilor Thomas Mercer, Matt Kelly, Councilor Debbie Pellegrini, and completed the four-member subcommittee. The town administrator ad hoc subcommittee met on the following dates, December 2nd and December 16th. The purpose of those two December meetings were to go over a detailed description by the town administrator and evaluated by the subcommittee in regards to the specific goals that were set forth between the town council and the town administrator. We had an opportunity to discuss various parts of those goals with him in detail to evaluate his performance. January 20th was a continuation of those dates, and February 3rd was our last meeting to discuss my written summative in regards to his evaluation. In a formal vote, the town administrative evaluation ad hoc subcommittee members unanimously voted to move the written town administrative evaluation to a full council for their review. Councilor Pellegrini, although absent from the meeting, called prior to the meeting to voice her support for the written evaluation and to the chair for moving it to full council. There was a unanimous vote by the ad hoc subcommittee to move the evaluation forward. I'm asking the council to consider the unanimous recommendation and endorsement of the 2020 administrative evaluation. If approved, this written evaluation will go into the town administrator Helen's personnel file. If you have any questions, please feel free to ask me. My written report is as such. In reference to the 2020 administrator's annual review, the Franklin Town Council and the town administrator Jamie Helen entered into a contract agreement 2 years ago, and as contractually obliged, the Franklin Town Council formed a town administrator's evaluation ad hoc council subcommittee to fulfill the obligation. The committee met on December 2nd and December 16th, as well as the other dates I mentioned. The Franklin Town Council's contract with Jamie Helen states, town administrator's contract section 6, performance review. The council shall establish mutually agreed upon goals for the town council and Helen to achieve during a 2-year legislative session. The council shall review Helen's progress towards meeting the council goals on an annual basis. The said annual review and evaluation shall be in accordance with the goals developed jointly between the council and Helen. Said goals may be added to or deleted from the council and Helen from time to time. Further, the council shall provide Helen with a written summary statement of the findings of the council and provide adequate opportunity for Helen to discuss with the council. Goals shall generally be attainable within the time limitations as specified in Section 7. Within the time limitations as specified in Section 7, that's a repeat, within the annual operating budget and capital budgets and appropriations provided by the council. In affecting the provisions of this section, the council and Helen mutually agree to abide by the provisions of applicable law. The following is a list of the main 2020-2021 goals set forth by the council during an annual goal-setting meeting during a town council workshop on January 8th, 2020. They were fiscal, these are a list of the goals, fiscal, economic development, facilities, Department of Public Works, recreation, open space, community, general community activities, civic engagement, presentation, discussion items, and COVID response and protocols, which was a new addition to the set of goals put forth by the council and town administrator. These goals were laid out in some detail by the town administrator back in November, as well as during the ad hoc committee meetings of December and January and February 3rd. And see attached update copy. Everyone has already seen a copy of those. To fulfill our obligation, I respectfully submit a formative written statement that meets the obligatory requirements and outlines the resulting discussion items from both the December 2nd and December 16th meeting, as well as the January and February meetings. See written summary below. Please note that due to circumstances beyond the normal means of control, many of the goals set forth by the town council have or had to be adjusted to accommodate the COVID-19 pandemic. My written formative summary is such: the town council, town administrator's goals, the attached goals update indicates that Mr. Jamie Helen has executed his responsibilities to the fullest extent of his abilities. It is important to reflect upon the fact that many of the goals established in the beginning of the year have been majorly affected by the 2020 COVID-19 pandemic. And considering these unforeseen circumstances, many of the goals were still accomplished, while many more were amended, added, deleted, or adjusted to reflect these said circumstances. To start, I wish to address the performance of the town administrator during the past year and his dealings with the ever-changing challenges associated with the COVID-19 executive mandates and the federal regulations that he was required to implement and adopt into his administration. The town administrator, TA Jamie Helen, performed his duties effectively and went above and beyond all expectations in implementing all necessary rules and regulations put forth by local, state, and federal COVID-19 mandates. Town Administrator Helen took it upon himself to list the many goals that were successfully accomplished since the pandemic hit hardest around March of 2020. Listed below are several additional important points. Number one, Town Administrator Helen was wise in hiring an outside consultant, Clifford and Kenny LLP, to evaluate the Department of Public Works and create a workplace climate assessment report with recommendations for improvements. Two, Town Administrator Helen has continued his efforts in developing great working relationships with the town department heads, town staff, and the school department. Town Administrator Helen stepped up to help support the town clerk's office in remedying issues associated with the 2020 presidential primary and continued that support through the general election and even through the December local election. Number four, TA Helen played an important role in the investigation into the spearfishing incident that resulted in significant monetary loss. Jamie's prompt response helped lessen the losses and ultimately was able to secure insurance payouts and recoup portions of those losses. Five, during the past year, TA Helen was successfully managed to meet the majority or the goals set forth by the town council. TA Helen has proven his effectiveness in securing much needed funding and grants from the state for local budget and federal funding to offset the expenses that were associated with COVID-19. Respectfully submitted myself to the full council. Another note, just to make clear, these goals that were set forth were agreed upon earlier in the year, and many of what you see written in this summative statement are standards that we've had in regards to addressing the town administrator's evaluation. Moving forward, as part of the subcommittee's request, there is a potential to look forward to having a meeting amongst the council at the chair's to pick a date for future agenda to put forth more clear process into what that total evaluation should include, so that we as a council can have more input into what we would like to see. And of course, with the town administrator's support, other things that we would like to do to add to the process and make the process more clear. So what you see in front of you has been a standard. And if anyone has any questions, or if Jamie, you'd like to make any comments, go ahead.
I guess my only comment would be that we as a council, will meet again with Jamie to discuss goals as we move forward. And at those goal sessions is the time when we should have the discussions as to what gets added to part of that evaluation as far as goals, because we list goals. That's how it's listed in the contract. Mm-hmm. Councilor Bazanti, you have a question.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. So what you just stated was we cannot comment tonight.
Yes.
Just a yes or comment. No?
No, okay. you can absolutely comment if you'd like to. What would happen tonight is we would look for the council to accept the report written presented by the ad hoc subcommittee. That's what's before us. And we can have discussion on that, and you're more than welcome to ask a question or bring up an issue.
Well, actually, I have more of a commentary, Mr.
Sure.
Chairman.
Sure, please, go ahead.
Than a question. So I see under the goals that civic engagement is highlighted or listed, and it's come to my attention that there have been times when some of the older, more established Franklin people have come to speak to Jamie, somewhat rebuffed them, told them to look out the window and say, this isn't your town anymore. This is in the 80s or 90s, and I don't want to hear about it. And I've gotten that not from one, but more than one older Franklin. I know we live in an ageist society where the media screams for younger councils and a more diverse council, but I don't think that's right. I just don't. And I'm hurt for the people, and I'm not a young kid anymore. Well, none of us are. So,
don't look old. Look to your left.
He's aging every moment. He's
yeah, like, I know. Oh, I think he's getting pretty serious. So I guess all I'm saying is, I mean, if I had to have any gripe about Jamie, that would have been it. Okay. Other than that, I think we have a great rapport, but I really don't want to hear that happening again.
Sure.
Whether it's true, whether it's rumor, whether it's conjecture, when I hear it twice from very reputable, honorable people, it does upset me a little, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, understood.
I yield the floor.
Thank you, Councilor Bazanti. Is there anyone else that has a question or a comment? Councilor Frangillo.
Yeah, I just wanted to give Jamie the opportunity to respond to anything on here. Is that possible? If there's anything
that he... As
soon
as we were done, yes.
then we go to him.
If there's anything that he found unfair, yeah.
Cool. Any...
No,
Jamie, any questions or comments? Oh, I'm sorry, Brian.
No problem, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to say one thing that's changed that I'm very happy about is we've been getting more emails from you, like the situational awareness ones, very helpful. I just want to let you know that, very helpful. And also, a couple other things I want him to do, but it'd be more under the goals situation, I think. So I'll do that when we do the goals.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Chandler. Councilor Kelly?
Yeah, I just wanted to mention, you know, when we got into started this, I don't know, was that 2 months ago?
Yeah.
all the days seem to go together. We started this, the conversation came up about what we're exactly evaluating the town administrator on. Mm-hmm. And we can only evaluate him on the goals that were set forth, to which, if anybody watched the subcommittee meetings, I actually brought up a couple items that are in the evaluation about COVID that I didn't feel was fair to put on Jamie, whether they were positive or negative, for the fact that he wasn't challenged at the beginning of our, the basis of our goals to get through a worldwide pandemic. So he did choose ultimately to have that put in there, and that's his right, and I applaud him for doing that. But I think when we look at this, you know, everybody can come up with, well, I wish he had done this, or I wish he had done that, or it's very easy to be a critical of everybody else but yourself. I know that wholeheartedly. But, you know, keep in mind, we're evaluating a gentleman who had very big shoes to fill. He's worked very hard. If you're looking, you know, and I have heard from people, well, he's not Jeff Nutting. No, if you wanted Jeff Nutting, you should have paid him $1 million. I'm sure he would have stayed here another couple of years, but he wasn't sticking around. He is very hard, you know, from knowing Jamie personally from the day that he came over. He's a very hard worker. He cares about our community very much. He cares about our people very much. He is settling into his own role, and I think I'm excited to see how that goes over the next few years. It could, you know, we all have room for improvement, and, you know, we're all sharing faults in our own lives. So I think at the end of the day, we got to keep in mind, we are evaluating this gentleman on his goals, on what was set forth. He accomplished those goals, and for that, I applaud him, and you did a very good, great job. I'm going to use the word great. You did a very great job on accomplishing your goals, and I, for one, am happy that you're here, because I know how many town administrator jobs are open in the state of Massachusetts, and I really don't want to be sitting here, no offense, Mark, but having Mark run the show. So...
And he didn't even smile.
And he didn't even smile.
He doesn't want to do it.
Look, he doesn't even want to do it. So, but that being said, and thankfully I have a good rapport with the town attorney as well. But what was I going to say? But, you know, I think I'll summarize what I'm saying is you did a great job. You accomplished many of your goals, and I look forward to figuring out how we're going to come up with a better evaluation process in the future. So thank you. And you know, as a side note, the fire department is very happy, and that is fantastic. So I'll give you that as well. So thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Kelly. Councilor DeLocco.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Through you, I also would kind of follow Councilor Kelly. I think he's done a great job, especially during the pandemic. Best things that I like about Jamie is you call him and he answers the phone. He's never not answered the phone.
He never answers the phone for me.
Well, that's true. He always answers the phone for me. He always tries to do what he can for me. As far as that comment, Councilor Bazzanti, I can't see Jamie doing that. I really cannot. It's just not in his attitude. If they are, please call me. I'd like to talk to him. I probably know that, but no, I think he's done a great job, especially at a time like this with the pandemic. I mean, a lot of things have changed. And you did a great job, Jamie. I appreciate what you've done.
Thank you, Councilor DeLocco. Any other councilors? Councilor Hamblin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to add my agreement to Councilor DeLocco and Councilor Kelly's comments. I think Jamie's done a wonderful job, especially during a pandemic. We've met so many of these goals, and he's had to deal with so many other things. As someone who has tried to run a business during the pandemic, I know how stressful it is, and that's what the town is, right? It's a big business, and I just think he's done an excellent job. But thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Hamblin. Councillor Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, before I put forth a motion for the full council to accept performance of your written formative summary, I would just like to make one of my own personal comments in regards to the town administrator, and that is that I've been working closely with the town administrator now since he came on board what seems like yesterday, but what was it, close to 4 years now, Jamie?
I've been here for 5.5.
I was going to say.
Wow.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Because one of the major points that I'd always stressed and that was improving communication. Because as a communication liaison, that was my number one goal. And Jamie, you stepped right into that role, and you helped me, and you helped worked alongside with the communication team to try to improve things. And you've shown a remarkable effort in regards to communication. Whether you're getting texts from Councillor Kelly, or phone calls from the rest of us, or you're getting, you know, phone calls from me at like 10 o'clock at night, and you're like, what? And I'm like, nothing really, I just wanted to say hi. No, but in all seriousness, your level of effort that you put into everything that you do is remarkable, and considering the circumstances of the past year, I think you've performed exceptionally well. And given the circumstances of 2020, I think most people would have balked and waffled or fallen apart, considering what all the craziness that came out of last year, as well as what's continuing into 2021. And I want to thank you for all the hard work. And I can't just thank you, because I know a lot of what goes into what is yourself is your staff, and I mean everybody. I'm talking about your assistants, your police department, your fire department, the DPW, the custodians, the schools, and everyone in the town. I don't want to leave anyone out, the clerk's office, etc. Everybody who steps up to make the town of Franklin awesome, and you're their leader, and you've worked hard for them, and I appreciate everything that you and everyone does for the town of Franklin. On that note, I move.
No, not yet.
Okay.
The best for last.
The best for last.
Oh, who would that be?
I would be remiss if I didn't put my two cents in here. Nobody has had to work closer with Jamie than I have over the last 2 years. And I can assure you that no matter what time of day, no matter what day of the week, he answers my call, and he's always right there. If he doesn't have the answer, he's getting me the answer. And to Councilor Chandler's point about just the improvement in getting the emails and getting updates for things that are happening, one of the first things I said to Jamie when I took over his chair was, please don't let me find something out in the coffee shop.
I'd rather hear it from you. And I can tell you, he calls me every morning on his way to work, and he calls me every night on his way home just to fill me in on what's happened in the course of the day. And that means a ton to me. And I know on many occasions I've passed what some information on to the rest of the council, not every little thing because it just didn't warrant it. But in most cases, Jamie's always been there, gotten us the answers. His administrative team and how well they work together. Look at the things that have been accomplished in this ridiculous
time
over the last year and a half. And I look at the town and I say, we haven't missed a beat. And that's in strong part to our leadership. And our leadership starts with Jamie. Yep. And then it's right on down the line. His administrative team that he's built, I'd put up against any town in the state. They're a great group of people that work very hard and care about what's going on in the town of Franklin. And certainly from the bottom of my heart, Jamie, thank you very much for all you do and all you've done. Just don't change. Now.
Oh, do we want him to give him an opportunity to speak first before we make the motion?
He can speak later.
Sure. Jamie, would you like to jump in?
Are you sure?
This might decide our motion.
Yes.
that. For the folks at home, here's the comedy portion of the show. through you, Mr. Chairman, I just want to mention, I know this evaluation is about, you know, the TA, but it's really not. And this evaluation is about our team. It's about everyone in this community that sets out goals at the beginning of the two-year session. And I mean it, you know, from the bottom of my heart. There's no way you get this done without these people behind me or all the other staff in this community. I say it every meeting, I think probably everybody's probably sick of hearing me say it, but it's really true. I've worked in this business over two decades now. You just literally aren't gonna find this kind of staff anywhere else in this state. And, you know, with folks like Brooke, you know, Alicia, you know, Chrissy, all these new additions, you know, yeah, they're new faces, but they're improving upon what we've already built from. To Councillor Kelly's point about Jeff Nutting, actually, I remember very vividly on that night actually saying, not only do I have big shoes to fill, but I think I committed that night to being better and build upon and do a better job than what Jeff did. I'm not going to sit here tonight and make some crazy statement to say I've done that. But I will say, based on these goals and what we've accomplished in the last several years, we're going to give him a run for his money on this. We have an incredible team here. Second to none, the department heads, the staff are worth every penny the citizens of this town pay for. We have a service level like no other. And when I say it, I mean it. When you look at our fire chief, our police chief, our DPW director, our town engineer, our staff, Anne-Marie Tracy, social media, you know, everything, Glenn, that you said, to everybody, you have the best of the best of their industries in this town right now. You really, really do. And it's not something to be taken for granted. I look at this list, fiscal, economic development, facilities. I'm not building buildings, D'Angelo is, right? And so this evaluation doesn't just reflect on me, but this reflects on all of the staff, all the departments, and all of the team. Furthermore, so I wanna thank them very much for their collaboration, their incredible hard work during what's definitely been, on behalf of every municipal official, unquestionably, unfortunately, the most memorable year we're probably going to have. But I think that a lot of us, once we're out of this pandemic, we're going to sit, look back and realize, like you guys just said, look at what we got accomplished during that. We didn't skip a beat. And it all still got done. I did count how many goals, by the way. You guys did put 81 goals on this list. That's a lot of goals.
Told you it wasn't enough.
I told you it wasn't them. Also, I want to thank, obviously, all of you, the town council, and the ad hoc subcommittee, you know, Councilor Jones. Again, these aren't my goals. These are our goals. These are your goals, my goals, these folks' goals. These are the community goals. And we are a team. We can't do this without the council and your support for community preservation, water main replacements, complete streets. We can't do this without all of you. And, you know, you guys rely on all of us to execute the decisions you've made. And I think for the people watching at home, I hope they realize, you know, I understand this is an evaluation, you know, it's in my contract. But ultimately, you know, the work that's getting done is reflected upon all of us and on throughout the whole community. So I want to thank everybody for all of their support on the ad hoc committee, the council, all of the elected officials on all the other boards. We want to thank them. Obviously, I want to thank the incredible citizens and residents here in town. I've gotten to know you really have a special community here with a lot of incredible people, with, as evidenced earlier tonight with all the volunteers that stepped up. I would say, based on the citizens of the town, to Councilor Bassanti's point earlier, of two people that complained that I told them something to that avail, I just wanted for the record respond that there is absolutely no way I ever said those words. However, have I told people no sometimes? Yeah. I'm sure I've ruffled a few feathers here or there. If I wasn't ruffling feathers every once in a while, I think I wouldn't be doing my job. I think my predecessor ruffled just a few feathers in his tenure. And sometimes when people come to our office, the answer isn't always what they want to hear. You know, I'm sure that you could appreciate, because I know all of you get these emails and comments from citizens. Citizens always don't say the nicest things to all of us all the time either. So I do mean it, Councilor Bassanti. If there was somebody that was hurt or had a bad customer service experience with our office, you know, we take that seriously. We do customer service training across our organization every 2 to 4 years. And so if folks have a concern or if they really feel like they were hurt, if they want to reach out to me, obviously I'm happy to meet with them and you know, bridge any gaps over the water that people feel as if they feel pushed away. I don't want people to feel pushed away. I want people to walk in the front doors and feel like this is their house, this is their place, they can come and they feel comfortable. So I do apologize if somebody didn't get treated properly, but I definitely did not tell anybody this isn't the 80s or 90s, you've lost your town, or anything of that sort. So I hope that message gets out to whoever may have brought that forward. And finally, I'd be remiss if I didn't comment on Councilor Kelly's, one of his points. You're right. There always is room for improvement. And I'm never going to stop looking for improvement in my professional or personal life until the day I die, because that's just the person I am. And I agree with him. We always can get better. And we always try to stride as an organization. And when something doesn't go right, like some of the incidents that happened this fall, we don't try to look backward. We try to move forward. We try to debrief and look at those situations and say, how can this organization get better at what we do? From the bottom to the top, from the top to the bottom. So I take that comment and that challenge certainly with me. So again, Mr. Chairman, I really appreciate you know, all the support that the council has given all of us on the staff. I want to thank all the department heads and the staff for their commitment. It's the best job I've ever had in my life. I hope I don't ever have to have another job. I think we work really well together as a team. And I think the citizens of the community at large, yep, we hear the complaints, but I think when I walk around and listen and talk to people, I really truly believe that the vast majority of the people in this town are very, very happy with the state of the with community. So I appreciate your consideration of this evaluation tonight, and obviously happy to answer any questions that people have. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Jamie. Councilor Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to accept the performance review written formative summary of the Town of Franklin Town Administrator.
Second.
Motion and second. Discussion on the motion. Seeing none, the clerk will call the roll.
Rangillo.
Yes.
Chandler.
Yes.
Bassanti.
No.
Hamblin?
Yes.
Kelly?
Yes.
Allegri?
Yes.
Jones, yes. Vice Chair?
Yes.
Chair?
Yes.
8-1, sir.
Motion carries.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tintype Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.